Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technology, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
From the land of the legendary Ozark Howler, this is Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome, I'm Derek Gilbert. Once again, bringing you a special program as we dig into our archive, bring you material from the past to present to you in the future as Sharon and I travel to another conference this weekend. As you watch this, we're in California, Orange County, California, with our colleague Josh Peck from Skywatch TV for the Hear the Watchmen conference, Disclosure on the Coast. A little late for travel plans if you're just seeing this now, but still not too late to sign up for streaming video. As you can see, all of the presentations in full HD via the internet. Sign up online at hearthewatchmen.com. That's hearthewatchmen.com, and you can save 20% on the streaming by using the promo code Gilbert20. I mentioned the Ozarks Howler because that's another example of a cryptid, a cryptozoological mystery. An animal that may or may not exist, sort of like the chimeras, basilisks, griffins, Bigfoot, and here in Missouri, another cryptid that has been reported over the years, Momo, the monster, and we talk about it in this program. What are they? Where do they come from? And what is the theology behind these animals? Do dogmen really exist? What about things like werewolves, vampires, ghosts, demons? Well, we'll talk about those in the weeks ahead as we draw closer to Halloween. But we thought this was appropriate as we're getting into that season where we pay more attention to the theological aspects of the stranger members of the zoological realm, cryptids, on this episode from April 13th of 2018. Cryptids. On Sci Friday. The roast is resting in a shallow, unmarked grave in the backyard. And now it's time for Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome, I'm Derek Gilbert. Our science advisor joins me, as always, my best friend, the author of The Red Wing Saga, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetheart. That's, so, roast, huh?
That's an appropriate opener for today because it comes from the film Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, that's right. It does. I do it sound familiar, but I couldn't think. It's been a long time since we saw that.
Yeah, that movie is, 1980?
100 years old something
like that. Yeah.
It's older than Josh Peck.
John Lithgow, David Suchet played the evil hunter.
Oh,
Don Ameche was in it. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, wow. That was quite a cast.
Yeah, it was. And, of course, Harry, as they called the... The Bigfoot.
Sasquatch.
Yeah. They portrayed him as a vegetarian. And so the roast that had been prepared for dinner in order to avoid offending Harry was buried in a shallow, unmarked grave in the backyard. So anyway.
Oh, gosh.
But that relates to today's topic.
It does. In fact, I tweeted out to Facebook this morning, or yesterday morning, because you're watching this on Friday and we're recording it on Thursday. But I tweeted it on Thursday that we were going to be discussing cryptids. And I, of course, put the meme poster of Liam Neeson saying,
release the Kraken.
Yes, indeed, because that's a cryptid. It's on the list of cryptids.
Interesting.
Cryptid just means hidden. It's just some sort of a creature that prefers not to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And the study of these types of creatures called cryptozoology.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some question, you know, a lot of mainstream scientists would consider this fringe science. In fact, a lot of Christians probably watching this program are wondering, now, why are they even touching this topic?
Because it's an important one, and a lot of the cryptids, in my opinion, have spiritual roots.
Therein lies the reason for
connecting science to what we often discuss, interpreting things through the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Bible.
Some of the best known cryptids, of course, would be like Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, yeah. But
there are a number of others that are perhaps have more of a basis in history, actual fact.
Yes.
And are perhaps more of a spirit. Because something like the Loch Ness Monster, for example, you could conceive of as a relic population, the last or one of a very small number of survivors of
The Jurassic Age.
Yeah, creatures that existed long ago that may have died out.
There's a theory that it's a plesiosaur, and mm-hmm. there are a number of other freshwater bodies that have similar creatures in them. So very possibly.
Yeah. Lake Champlain in, mm-hmm. What is that, upstate New York, or is it Vermont?
One of those, can't remember.
Yeah, but I remember Lake Champlain is supposed to have something like that here in the United States. But anyway, what are some of the cryptids that you were looking at and that relate? Because I know this is something that you've been delving into in the Red Wing saga.
Oh, yes. In fact, there are a number of them relate to the UK. There are dragon-like beings in the UK. One of the biggest myths of all throughout the United Kingdom is this myth of the large canid. In other words, it's a dog-like creature or a wolf like creature that haunts the moors or even haunts some of the Eastlands mm-hmm. Near where the Vikings landed. There are some who claim that this creature was brought by Odin or Woden, depending on which country, and it's his hellhound. The Sherlock Holmes story, Hound of the Baskervilles, is probably based on that myth. But I'm not so sure it's a myth in the idea that it's not real. That's how we tend to think of a myth. Mm-hmm. No, it's a legend based, I believe, in spiritual fact.
A friend of ours, and shout out to him because I know he's going to watch this, Brent Lee Biddle from Bean Blossom, Indiana.
Love Bean Blossom. I'm from southern Indiana, and I used to drive through that town all the time on my way to Bloomington.
Yeah. Is a researcher who has dug into the stories of the Dogman.
Yes.
Dogman. Considerably, and I've only picked up a little bit of what he's told me. He knows a lot more about this than I do, but it sounds like what the ancients had to deal with when you're talking about the Nephilim. I mean, these are creatures that are hybrid, incredibly strong, and perhaps mm-hmm. supernaturally strong.
Which is what I get into in the Red Wing saga.
Right.
I think the Dogmen are really interesting. When you and I were at a conference recently, we spoke with a couple of individuals. They weren't aware that we were speaking with either one of them, but they told the same exact story of seeing Dogman in Oklahoma.
I'd forgotten about that. Yes, that's right. A Native American gentleman mm-hmm. who was telling us about this, and he said, look, I'm a hunter, and I don't scare easy, but I saw this thing that was across my yard. And how tall did he, do you recall?
He said he thought it was 8 or 9 feet tall.
8 or 9 feet tall,
and he said
right.
looked more like a lion instead of a dog.
Yeah.
In other words, from the shoulders up, it appeared to be something else, lion-esque.
Yeah. Now, this is... kind of touches on research that I've been doing for my forthcoming book, although I've been mm-hmm. focusing more on imagery that is bovid, mm-hmm. Bull-like, or mm-hmm. what scholars would call tauromorphic.
Ooh, honey, good word.
Yeah, but there are a number of different types of supernatural creatures from ancient Mesopotamia that have that type of imagery connected to it. There was an Akkadian demon called the Kusuriku, mm-hmm. which was loosely translates as bison man, who was bull-like from the shoulders down, but had a human head and bearded human head, but with horns. Mm-hmm. There was also the Lamassu and the Shedu, which were the royal guardians of the thrones, especially best known from ancient Nineveh, where these statues probably seen pictures of, and I'll put them up on the screen here, that were outside the temple, or rather the palaces of the Assyrian kings. But that goes back to the description of the cherubim from Ezekiel chapter 1, mm-hmm. Ezekiel chapter 10. Now, he describes them as having four heads, or four faces, rather.
Right.
A man, an ox, or a bull, a lion, and an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And
which are the four cardinal points of the Masoretic.
The Babylonian zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
But in chapter 10, Ezekiel's description of these creatures changes just a little bit, where instead of the ox, it says the four faces are a cherub, or cherub is how most English speakers pronounce
it. Actually, it's
cherub. Yeah, it's cherub, right. Uh-huh. And that's one of the faces. The others are human, lion, and ox, which means that, or human, lion, and eagle, rather,
right.
Which means that the cherub is... swapped out for the ox, which suggests that that's how they appeared.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've seen some representations, artists' depictions of what Solomon's temple must have looked like on the inside, because the description, of course, has these two giant cherubim with their wings touching mm-hmm. over the entrance to the holy place. But instead of the angelic humanoid angels that we're used to seeing when artistic mm-hmm. representations of the cherubim. These look like the Lamassu and the Shedu, these bull creatures with human faces and wings.
They're not chubby babies?
No. No, you do not want to mess with a cherubim. They are seriously bad dudes who will mess you up. So the point being, though, to all of this is that there may be a supernatural origin for these descriptions, the descriptions of these creatures, and there may still be demonic manifestations of these things roaming around.
That's what I believe. And some of these creatures, if you read the legends, and many of these legends were actually compiled by Jacob Grimm and his brother in the early 19th century.
Grimm's fairy tales, right.
Exactly. And because they were diligent about doing that, they collected tales from all across Europe. And some of these tales have such similar elements within them, it's almost impossible to discount it. It's unlikely that some bard just went from country to country, playing a little song and that, okay, I learned this over here and I'm going to teach it over here and I'm going to teach. No, more than likely, there's a spiritual truth that wandered from country to country, or it was left over from an ancient earlier origin where before perhaps languages divided.
I think it's interesting too that the Apkallu, which were the Mesopotamian name for the watchers, are depicted in several different styles. One of is a bird or eagle headed humanoid with wings. Mm-hmm. Another is just a man with wings. Then of course you've got the fish garbed type. But you have these other depictions throughout ancient Mesopotamia of, again, using a scholarly word, theriomorphic, in other words, human-animal hybrid creatures.
Well, that's the thing. Very often these creatures are combinations of different animals, and they appear to be something that cannot exist in nature.
Yeah.
And therefore, I think that's the main reason that scientists discount it. And yet, in their own laboratories, they will create chimeras.
Right.
Well, we don't want to admit we're doing that, so we'll just say, not real. Europe isn't the only place that has these legends. The United States, other than just Sasquatch, we've got other legends. One of them is from your home state of Illinois.
Really?
Alton, Illinois has the Piasso bird, P-I-A-S-A, and it's supposedly pronounced Pi-a-saw bird.
Yeah, Pi-a-saw. Yeah.
Pi-a-saw bird. Okay. And it's an Illini Indian word that is essentially this creature. Looks like a dragon.
It does. This was the image was found on the limestone bluffs overlooking the Mississippi at Alton, and I've been there. We've been there, and I've seen the recreation or the restoration of the image because the limestone is soft over the years. The image has worn away.
Yep.
But there are depictions of it from the 19th century when Europeans first began to notice this thing and take interest in studying what it meant. But you're right, it does look. What's interesting, though, is that the way it's reconstructed based on the original drawings, it looks not just like a dragon, but it also has the horns that look very much like what we talked about a few weeks ago, Hernunos, the horned god.
The horned man, the green man, who's another cryptid.
Right.
This idea that there's actually a horned being in the woods of England. This creature in Illinois, it's really interesting. It almost looks like something out of a children's film. Reminds me a little bit of the Neverending Story.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's got a tail that looks similar to sort of a snake-like or a scorpion tail, except it's bifurcated at the end. It's got these strange horns. It's got wings that appear to have scales on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does look dragon-like.
Yeah.
And the Indians tell a tale that they claim to have killed it, finally. Took 20 of their warriors with 20 bows, and each loaded with poisoned arrows. And one of them, a 21st, served as bait. But apparently this Pi-a-saw bird preferred human flesh.
Right.
And it was large enough that it could pick up a deer, a full-grown deer, in just one claw.
Those limestone cliffs in Alton, not really all that far from the Cahokia Mounds.
No, and we'll get to that right after this break. So we'll tell you more about Cahokia and the legends here in the United States, and one that we saw on our own deck.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, just for you folks in Vermont, I didn't mean to leave you out. Yes, Lake Champlain is on the border between New York State and Vermont.
And they were shouting.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah,
I knew it.
I could hear it. So, yeah, and the cryptid there, very much like Loch Ness, called Champ, which makes sense, Lake Champlain.
Yeah.
But More cryptids straight ahead when SciFriday continues.
Unveiling the ancient realms of demonic kings and Satan's battle plan for Armageddon, Skywatch TV is proud to announce two new special offers, the Veneration Collection with optional Red Wing Saga series. First, in Derek and Sharon Gilbert's new groundbreaking book, Veneration, you'll learn how the giants of old shaped the worldview and religion of the Hebrews, and the role they will play in the end times, how veneration of the dead brought disaster on the Israelites, concealed references of ancestor worship among the Canaanites, and so much more. But for a limited time only, when you purchase Veneration from Skywatch TV, you'll also receive Realms of the Dead, Book 6 in the Red Wing Saga from Sharon K. Gilbert, that explores the true historical link between Mount Hermon and Jack the Ripper. The key characters of this supernatural thriller will face their most terrifying challenge yet, as a powerful new watcher has joined the confrontation that could bring forth the Antichrist and the end of days. But that's not all. You'll also receive the brand new DVD documentary, The Search for the Raphaim, where Derek and Sharon Gilbert take you on a guided tour of the Holy Land, ground zero in the long war with the fallen realm. You will see mysterious Gilgal Raphaim created for the veneration of the dead, the plains of Moab, where worshiping the god of the underworld brought disaster on Israel, and bonus teachings by guests like Pastor Carl Gallops and Messianic Rabbi Zev Parat. And for a limited time only, you'll receive absolutely free the brand new reprinting of the original 1921 classic work, Immortality and the Unseen World, which reveals the Hebrew concepts of the supernatural realm, death, angels, and demons. Sold separately, this exclusive offer retails for $90. Yours now for only $35 plus shipping and handling. But wait, now you have the option to upgrade and expand your collection by including all five previously released books in the Red Wing Saga, where you'll learn spiritual warfare through gripping stories with characters you'll love. The expanded collection, which includes all eight books and the Search for the Raphaim DVD documentary, holds a retail value of $190. Yours now for your donation of only $100 plus shipping and handling. So don't delay. Order the Veneration Collection with optional Red Wing Saga series now. Available at SkywatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985.
Science in the Holy Land, archaeology. It's part of the Skywatch TV Tour of Israel. We're returning to the Holy Land in 2020, October 12th through 25th of 2020. Sharon and I honored to be alongside Donna Howell from Skywatch TV, host of Chalk Talk. We'll be exploring Israel in ways most tours don't. We will visit Gilgal Raphaim for one. That's the mysterious Wheel of the Giants in the Golan Heights, within eyesight, line of sight of Mount Hermon. This site is older and larger than Stonehenge. 40,000 tons of rock into this monument for the veneration of the dead. We'll also see the altar of Joshua. We'll visit other sites like Shiloh and Bethel. We'll, of course, visit the Old City of Jerusalem, explore the Western Wall tunnels underneath the Temple Mount, and perhaps even climb to the Temple Mount itself. Don't miss it, the Skywatch TV Tour of Israel with an optional extension to join us in Sardinia to see the megalithic sites there as well. It's not too early to reserve your place. Pray about it, and for more information, log on to LipkinTours.com. That's L-I-P-K-I-N, LipkinTours.com. And now, back to our classic episode of SciFriday from Skywatch TV. Cryptids in Missouri. There's one I'll just touch on quickly called Momo the Monster, which is on the northeast part of the state near Louisiana. In fact, I interviewed a researcher about Momo, which is short for Missouri Monster, mm-hmm. Momo. similar to Bigfoot. Most of the sightings took place about 45 years ago, 1971, 72. Louisiana is an Amish area, a lot of Amish folks up there.
Yeah.
Again, not far from Hannibal in the northeast part of Missouri. But the thing that we saw on our deck forced us to dig into some research.
We don't know what it was, but it was big.
Yeah, might have been a large, very, very large, exceedingly large.
Exceedingly large, 50-pound cat.
Yeah, might have been a small panther.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something in this area called the Ozark Howler, which is a cryptid that is reportedly a large cat-like creature. But they believe, according to reports, that it's burlier, beefier, almost bear-like in its structure. Now, there's
it's huge. This thing is huge. It had the biggest legs and paws and this huge you may have seen it once, I think.
I did
see
it once,
I saw it
two or three
times.
Yeah, yeah. Coming up on the deck because...
We had some cats that had been, well, left.
Gifted to us.
We rehomed them.
Something that happens occasionally when you live out in the country. Somebody's got unwanted pets.
The first time I saw it, the cats were out there, and we were talking
about
relatively small, and they were meowing furiously. They were clearly in distress. And I turned on, the light was already on the deck. So I looked out there, and the kittens were up on the deck railing trying to get away from something. And I looked down on the deck, and there's this gigantic black thing with a tail that's huge.
Yeah. So not a raccoon. You've seen enough raccoons to know the difference.
I've seen lots of raccoons. This was not a raccoon. For one thing, raccoons weigh maybe 15 pounds at that.
Yeah.
This thing must have weighed 45, 50 pounds.
Little more agile than a small bear. And we do have some black bear in the Missouri Ozarks.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any yet as far as we know.
I got the stick that we keep in the slider.
Right.
And I opened the door just enough to bang the deck really hard. And it left. It just took off.
This is my boomstick. Boom.
No, it's a woman with a stick. Run.
So again, it may have just been a very large feral cat.
Possibly, but I've
again,
never seen a cat that big.
No. Small panther, perhaps. Certainly not the Ozark Howler, which is described as having prominent horns, and according to most reports, could well be a hoax.
Didn't notice any horns.
No.
There was no jackalope with it, and I think the howler always has a jackalope.
Hangs out with the jackalope.
Yeah,
as a scout. They pal around together.
That
is something, when it comes to cryptids, there are a lot of them, many of them are hoaxes. But again, it's also conceivable, and the reason we raise this rather speculative topic is because there may be spiritual or supernatural origins for many of these things.
Exactly, and I think the dogman probably is supernatural in nature, because one of the things that stands out, at least in the British tales of these canids, these wolf-like or dog-like creatures, is that they can appear and disappear at will. And sometimes these creatures ride on mists. That's not natural. Nothing in this real world, nothing physical can do that. And they appear sometimes at crossroads, which is typical of these occult apparitions.
Mm-hmm.
They sometimes appear and howl at you and stare at you. They have red eyes. And within a week, you're dead.
Hmm.
So sort of like a banshee, hailing your death, announcing your death. There are a lot of superstitions about these creatures, and they are dreaded. You do not want to see these. There's another theory that some of them are actually the fairy people.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of tales of the fairy people, and I'm not so sure that those are just made up.
Not all of them, no.
No.
No, there were the hoaxes that took place with the photographs that fooled even...
even Conan Doyle.
Arthur Conan Doyle, right.
Exactly. But the fairy people, the legends that I read, they're not little bitties. They are big creatures, and they look humanoid, and they live in this... Some of them actually are spirits of trees.
Mm-hmm.
They're called the moss people, and they're a type of fairy people.
Hmm. Well, again, this veneration of or the considering trees as holy sites, we see this back in biblical times with the tamarisk trees being having some sort of special significance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in Celtic mythology, the oak.
Also the
holly.
Yew tree, and that's one of the reasons yews are constantly showing up in my writings. But, there are certain trees that are considered sacred to the fairy people and have a lot of occult things that take place near them.
Mm-hmm.
So and one of the reasons yews are part of that legend is because some of the yews in England are 1,000 years old.
Mm. And getting back to the idea of the dogmen looking at you with a gaze that would kill within time. I mean, that's a concept that also goes back almost 5,000 years. The myth of Inanna's descent to the netherworld, Inanna being the Sumerian name for Ishtar or Aphrodite Venus, she decided apparently to descend to the netherworld to extend her realm, not just to the world of the living, but also to the realm of the dead.
Yeah.
Well, the goddess who was the queen of the dead, Eresh-Kigal, was not happy about that. And so the judges of the underworld, the Anunnaki, they fixed Inanna with the look of death.
Ah.
And she died. And she had to be restored because, you know, she's supernatural. She can't stay dead forever. But anyway, but the idea, this look of death is something that is a very old concept, not something that was made up here in the last few centuries.
That's really interesting. Mothman is another cryptid.
Yes.
Another spirit being that sometimes portends bad things happening and even death.
Yeah. So again, an understanding that maybe what we're dealing with here when it comes to these cryptids, not unknown biology, but perhaps, what's the word, theobiology perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's
There you go. Theobiology. Yeah. I like it.
Well, the Bible tells us that there's a day coming when these theriomorphic creatures are going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 9, when the abyss opens, which is where the Watchers / Apkallu / Anunnaki are currently being chained.
And if they have any communication with demons that are currently on the earth, and I think that it's very possible that they do, even though they're chained, it doesn't mean that they cannot somehow communicate with them. If they do, then they're probably got the demons preparing the way for their arrival.
Yeah, yeah. And that's speculation. We don't know how solitary a confinement God put these rebel angels, the angels who sinned, 2 Peter 2:4, how solitary their confinement really is, but it is possible. Or it's possible that these demonic entities who were their descendants, just out of a sense of loyalty to Dad, preserved their memory. That's one of the things I'm writing about for the forthcoming book. In dealing with the Titans, the Watchers, the Apkallu, if they had this theriomorphic appearances, what benefit would there be for the demons who remained on Earth after the Flood to preserve their memory? Is it because they're being directed, as you suggest, or is it because they're just, again, out of a sense of loyalty, knowing that they're coming back someday and thinking and believing that somehow in this one last shot they get to topple God from his throne, they're going to win?
The demons are going to win or their dads are going to win?
Either or.
We need to continue this talk next week because we're running out of time, but I would like to get into that idea of what the demons may be doing and why these cryptids, why they choose to use those forms.
That's a really good idea. And have a blessed weekend. We thank you for watching as we keep watch. With Sharon Gilbert, I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Sci Friday from SkyWatch TV.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.